And now, ladies.
This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is.
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. And I'm here with special guest host, Renee Harper.
Yay!
From Bisbee. And we are actually sitting in the old town of the Copper Queen Hotel. That, you know, okay, what? You're shaking your head now.
Well, we're in the town of the Copper Queen Hotel, yes.
Yes. Well, yeah, but for some reason, whenever anybody says Bisbee, the very first thing that pops in your mind is Copper Queen.
Correct.
And then Renee Harper. And then,
yes.
And then the old
Bisbee
the old Bisbee goes through right after that.
Absolutely, yes.
So we are actually doing a little road trip celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we find ourselves in the wonderful little town of Bisbee. We are just outside the Copper Queen, watching folks mill around on their daily activities, I guess. And again, Renee Harper's with us. Now, she was with me, about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, what were we talking about? We were talking about the ghost tours. We were talking about the film festival that was coming up.
Yeah, we were talking with Kathy Soden about the Festival of Lights and all
That's
kinds
right.
of fun things.
That's
yeah.
right. So, but we still got a lot of other stuff going on. We're going to be talking to some folks who have breweries here.
Yep.
In the quaint little town of Bisbee, and I guess some restaurant folks as well. Things to do while you're milling around the great state of Arizona.
Yep.
Including yelling down the corridor of little mini malls. So, Renee, reintroduce yourself to the folks down or up here in Tucson about who you are. Now I'm proud because. I didn't write it down, and obviously I immediately forgot it. But the curator of...
Macabre.
The Macabre, okay. That's, at least I
curator,
I'm playing.
Yeah.
So, and that's for your little...
That's for the Bisbee Mini Museum of the Bazaar, which my husband and I travel with in our gypsy wagon.
Very nice. But you're also the ghost host for the Bisbee Ghost Tours.
For the old Bisbee Ghost Tour, correct.
And the creative executive officer for Sweet Midnight.
Correct.
Now, you just have so many creative outlets in your life.
Yes.
Now, we didn't talk about this last time, but the mini museum of the macabre.
Or of the bazaar.
Of the bazaar.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Okay.
What exactly do you do with that? What is it?
Basically, it's my husband and myself's personal collection of... creepy things. We have shrunken heads. We have a Fiji mermaid. We have, like in the last show, we were talking about the embalming table. We have an old antique wooden cooling table from, the 1880s. I won't tell you what my kitchen table is. Do you want to know? I'll tell you.
No, tell us.
It's in...
It won't surprise me. I'll tell you that.
It might surprise you.
Okay.
It's an old embalming table from, we believe, the 1930s is our kitchen table. We also have a real human skeleton in our TV room.
That's pretty cool.
It is. Our house is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Now it's interesting to me that that is what your house is, because when I first met you over Facebook and stuff, when we were talking about doing these shows, the first picture I saw was you at Club 33 in Disneyland.
Yes.
Which is like the most wholesome place in the world. And except for, I guess, the Haunted Mansion, which...
Which is where my husband and I got married.
That
does it surprise you? No.
Not at all.
I love Disney. I am like this huge Disney fanatic.
I actually wish that I could live there.
In Disneyland?
Yes.
The on Main Street, the house that's the palm reader?
Yeah.
Where you can sit on the porch?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's my dream house right there. So I can sit on the porch and just people watch all day long. Yeah.
Well, there's the two apartments above... The Pirates.
I was just there, the Dream Suite, yes.
Yeah, so, those were actually built for Walt and Roy as
correct.
Their accommodations while they
correct.
Stayed there.
Yes.
That's where I want to stay. That's where I want to stay.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We did the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tour, and they took us up there, and it was pretty amazing. Because, you can stay there if you're very special.
Well, yeah, they actually, I about 5 years ago or so, they totally remodeled that, and it's a special thing. You have to either win a contest or
make a wish, foundation,
sell your soul or something.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Well, it is Disney. Sorry, I didn't really say that. I love you, Disney. I love you. Please don't sue me.
No, they'll sue us.
Okay,
so you're protected. But we have nothing, so who cares?
Right, exactly.
So, all right. This is a gypsy caravan that you take your museum around.
Yes, we designed a gypsy wagon, and the awesome guys at Highway 92 Service Center in Bisbee built it out of aluminum. And so it's like this apocalyptic proof gypsy wagon that we will hopefully be taking it to the Wild Wild West Convention this year.
So, okay, so I mean, keeping in the theme of your life and everything else, I imagine it looks like the old 50s Airstream.
No, it looks like an old school gypsy wagon.
But made
out of aluminum.
Oh, okay.
Made out of aluminum.
When you said aluminum, the first thing that popped in my brain was an old Airstream. But but the gypsy caravan is not an Airstream. No, it's a gypsy caravan.
Yeah, so think like the TV show Carnival that
aired on
HBO and those wagons that they traveled in, that's what it looks like.
That is perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect. So, how many items do you have?
Oh, my God. We have to have over 100 items.
And they all
over 100.
They all have some kind of little fun story?
Yeah. All of them do. Usually, stuff has been given to us. We very rarely go out to seek objects.
Yeah.
We have the largest grave rubbing collection that we know of. We go to all kinds of celebrities' graves, and we take rubbings and get kicked out of a lot of cemeteries in the process.
So your picture is up at a lot of cemeteries.
Right, most wanted. Yeah, don't let her in. Which is funny because our car, usually our daily driver, is our hearse. And it has a black glitter top to it. And so it's really hard to go into a cemetery and not be noticed because everyone goes, what's going on with that hearse with the glitter on it? So, yeah, we have to like get a Honda and do this because we get caught because of the car.
I was so close in acquiring an old Cadillac hearse back in the late 80s. And I get it got sold out from under me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then I never could find one that was, you know, mechanically was worth what I wanted to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, we have three at the moment.
Oh.
We have my...
I may be interested.
Well, they're not for sale.
Oh.
But we have my 95, my husband has a 69, and we also have a horse-drawn hearse.
Sweet.
Yeah, but it needs a lot of refurb, and I have a friend, Cupcake, that's his name, Cupcake, and he actually is a carpenter on movie sets. So if you dive really deep into my Facebook, you'll see pictures of me on the set of True Blood. And,
That's great.
Yeah, it is great. And so he is supposed to be acquiring this horse-drawn hearse because he has the skill to fix it, but he hasn't picked it up yet.
Oh,
so it's like sitting, and I'm like, well, I'm going to say it's mine until he comes and gets it.
Well, shame him right now.
Okay. Shame on you, Cupcake. Come pick up your hearse.
Or your hearse.
My hearse.
Okay, and the last thing, let's talk about the ghost tours.
All right, my favorite.
So, you've been running this ghost tour for 8 years?
8 years, almost, yes.
And what would people expect when they come up on the ghost tour?
Well, we take people on a walking tour of Bisbee where they can hear the ghost stories and the folklore regarding the ghosts which haunt the buildings. And we also do a haunted pub crawl since there's been, you know, drinking on the show lately. We do a haunted pub crawl.
Drinking on the show always.
Oh, always?
Not just lately.
Well, then some of your fans might be interested in that. And we do that twice a month. And we also do our Thursday night ghost hunts at the Copper Queen for guests staying there. And we teach them how to use all that ghost hunting equipment. It's scary.
So if I stay at the Copper Queen, I get my own, like...
On the first or third Thursday of the month is when we do it. And, yeah, it's so much fun. And we teach you how to use all those gadgets. And, yeah, exactly. The boop, 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 boop. Yeah. And then we let our guests borrow the equipment for the entire night.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That is totally cool. Now, give me the website for the tours.
OldBisbeeGhostTour.com.
Now, do you have a website for Sweet Midnight or for the
sweetmidnight.com.
That's simple.
It's very simple. And bizarrebisbee.com. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, all those places. So just look us up.
Awesome. Yes. We're going to be right back talking beer.
treated me with style.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm not here with my little brother Jeffrey. He has been replaced by a much lovelier host, Renee Harper from, well, you have three titles.
I do.
You are the ghost host of the Bisbee Ghost Tours.
Yes.
The creative executive officer of Sweet Midnight.
Correct.
And the director of the Macabre.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Okay, let's go with that. Curator okay. of the Macabre.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Curator of the Macabre.
The Macabre for the Bisbee Mini Museum of the Bazaar.
Very nice. So, and she's helping co-host in Jeffrey's absence. We are actually sitting in the glorious town of Bisbee celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful. And we invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on iTunes. Now, Renee, Bisbee isn't just about art. It's not just about ghosts. It's not just about, you know, copper mining. There's beer here.
There's lots of beer.
There's alcohol to be had in this small sleepy town.
I think we have more bars in a mile radius than like any other place besides New Orleans.
Really?
I am certain of it. I have never seen so many bars in such a small area in my life.
Okay, so what do I get for a handful of beads in Bisbee?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, God. Well, okay, I'm going to New Orleans then. All right, but with us today, we have Jim and Amanda Gibson, who are the owners of Beast Brewing Company.
Yes.
Now, this is radio, so you guys can't just nod your head.
Okay.
You must speak out loud.
Yep.
So how are you guys doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Now, everyone we've talked to so far seems to have been some kind of transplant to this beautiful town.
Well,
are you the same?
We're definitely the same. We moved here a little over a year ago. From New England, and we were basically working in corporate America, just started a family, and decided to do something more creative with our lives. So we were scouring the whole country, came across Bisbee, thought it was a wonderful place to live, and packed the bags, the dogs, and drove across the country.
Wow, that's a long haul. So what was your destination aside from this geographic point? I mean, did you already have a business purchased? Or did you have just an idea?
We bought the brewery and moved here specifically for that and the gorgeous weather and all that there is to do in the area. Mm-hmm.
So when you were living your lifestyle in corporate America in New England, and they have like some crappy brewery out there called Sam Adams.
Yeah.
And Harpoon and a number of other crappy ones.
Were you home brewing at the time? What made you think you wanted to do this?
Yeah, actually, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, so growing up around some of the best breweries in the country really, really inspired us. We did a lot of travel, also visiting breweries. We've been home brewing for about 20 years, and Jim has actually even worked in some brew pubs and restaurants as a chef, and so that's really where things started taking off.
So, essentially, just to give you a little more background as well, we actually really did look at everywhere in the country, and we really started out just wanting to open a business. And we looked at wineries, we looked at greenhouses, we looked at restaurants, and then we found this brewery that was, you know, also the first craft brewery in the state of Arizona. And we started talking to the owner. I came out here by myself while my wife was 9 months pregnant, viewed the town, fell in love with the town, and then I had to convince her I wasn't insane and we should move to a border town in Arizona.
And I went for it, naturally. We're a little crazy.
Well, you know, you guys are younger, much younger than I am, and this is the best time in a couple's life to do this kind of stuff.
I agree. We really just didn't want to wait. We kept talking about it as a retirement dream. And then we said, what are we waiting for? We're not going to feel like working that hard. So, yeah, now we're putting in our dues and really working our butts off.
So, how many kids do you have?
We have two. Reese the Beast, he provided us with some inspiration for our company. He's 4. And then we have Elliot, and he's 1 year old.
So, what roles do they play in the brewery?
Reese is actually pretty intimately involved in our marketing and design. He's very creative. He helps us with even like our little saying, the mountains are calling and I must drink beer. That was really a play on the John Muir quote, the mountains are calling and I must go. And one day Reese said, oh, no, it's the mountains are calling and I must drink beer. And we're like, you are a marketing genius.
Really. Now, mind you, he's never had beer, but he still understands the importance of it.
I know this is, we'll talk after you're off the air. I know he's had beer. Yeah. Do not lie to me.
But yeah, he helps with color, picking out colors and just a lot of really creative thinking. So.
And he also named our logo / mascot. We showed it to him. We said, what do you think? He said, oh, I like Growly. And we said, what do you mean Growly? He said, that's his name, Growly. So.
Did he know about growlers?
No, he didn't.
Wow. That's perfect.
And now we call our growlers, which we serve as pitchers in the tap room, growlies as well.
Sweet. So okay, this is, I drink tequila. That's my poison. And I used to say a lot that I hate beer, don't drink beer. But I've really been going to a lot of craft beer places. And experimenting. I'm a big stout guy nowadays. And I still don't like IPAs because I just don't like how hoppy they are. But tell me, what are the kind of things that you focus on? What are the themes in your crafting that you work on at the brewery?
So as far as the beer goes, one of the biggest things we try to do is start with the best ingredients we can find. So all of our grains, we use the top quality grains that we can use, and we do an all-grain mash. So some other breweries might use extracts. We choose to use a real product in our beer. Beyond that, the hops we use are whole leaf hops, so they're actual hop buds, not, processed hop pellet again as well. We think it provides more flavor and a more subtle or more nuances to the flavor of the beer. Beyond that, we try to start out with great base recipes, and then we'll add some adjunct flavors, so to speak. So we actually have a great, very popular stout called Sexy Beast Coffee Stout.
And I'm a big fan of the coffee stout.
Cool. Well, we actually use coffee from Old Bisbee Roasters here in town. They actually roast some of our grain to make the beer. And then a couple weeks later, we'll do a coffee tasting with them. And then they'll roast the coffee, and we dry hop the coffee with freshly roasted. I'm sorry, we dry hop the beer with freshly roasted coffee. But you could almost say it the other way around.
I was
going to
say,
well.
Maybe the coffee company will start a sideline over there.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool. Well, we did actually put 80 pounds of organic Peruvian coffee in our latest batch, and we did try and calculate it out, and it's very close in comparison to drinking a cup of coffee as a pint of our Sexy Beast.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool.
Cool.
That is great. So give us a highlight of some of your product. Go down the list.
I guess before you do that, another thing that we really try and do is incorporate beasts into our brand. So, for example, you said you like stouts. Well, for the holiday season this year, we're coming out with our Merry Krampus Naughty Nog Stout, and it's going to be an eggnog stout.
Okay, I will drive to Bisbee just for that.
December 6th, we're celebrating Krampus
Night. Watch me. I'm writing this down.
Krampus Night is the best. My husband and I are obsessed with Krampus.
Cool.
So
December 6th is Krampus Night.
Yes, and we're releasing, that's a traditional European celebration, really.
Do you know about Krampus?
No, I don't.
He is like a beast, actually.
He is. He is like the anti-Santa. He also pays attention to if little boys and girls are good or bad.
Does he reward bad kids?
No. He beats them with his swizzle stick, throws them in his sack, and takes them to the fiery below.
Yeah,
so.
He like kidnaps.
So that song that people believe is about Santa as well. You better not,
You better not. Yeah, whatever.
You better watch out.
Yeah, better watch out. Better not cry. You better not. Tell me why. It's really about Krampus watching you and waiting to beat you if you're bad. So not really Santa.
Google him. He's awesome.
I will Google him.
Mind you, I don't have children. That's probably why I think he's awesome.
No, Trump actually, Beast the Beast loves him as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he seems to have an affinity for him. So.
Imagine what Christmas would be like if people believed in Krampus instead of... Really cool, yeah.
So basically, we just celebrated our year anniversary in October, and we opened our tap room back in March. So we released 4... I guess you could say mainstay beers up until that stage. Our Beast Ale, it's a strong American pale ale. The Sexy Beast Coffee Stout. Our Thunderbird Double IPA, which is very hoppy. It's 9.4% too, so it's pretty strong. And then the Electric Lager. And then at our anniversary party, we just released 4 seasonals. So what we're trying to do is use a lot more local ingredients when we can in some of the small batches, and we keep those... We release those in our tap room only right now.
No, are you bottling and sending anywhere?
We are, yes. We are bottling.
And do the local bars carry it as well?
Yes, yes. Many of the accounts in town carry our beer. Okay. And we have a pretty big following in the Tucson market. We actually, just this past month, signed with a distributor in the Phoenix market, Young's Market, and...
we don't talk about Phoenix on the show.
Sorry. But, our beers...
Well, they help with Tucson as well.
Yes, they do. Yeah, they help with the whole state, actually, and they're going to be more widely distributing our beer on a go-forward basis, so we're very excited about that partnership.
Excellent. So if anybody wants to come down to Bisbee, you guys have tap room?
We do, yes.
And where do they come, and if you're online, where do they go?
So our tap room is located at 1326 West Highway 92 in Bisbee. It's San Jose Square, a very cool section of town. And you
very
can,
beautiful as well.
Yes.
That's my neck of the woods.
Cool.
Yeah, that's where I live. Yeah.
You can find us and more information about our events at www.beastbrewingcompanyallspelledout.com. And you can also like us on Facebook.
Excellent. Well, thanks, guys. And I will be down here for... Krampus night for some eggnog stout. That's awesome.
I love that.
All right, so we're taking a quick break, and we'll be back on the Fred and Jeff Show.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I am not here with my little brother Jeffrey, but I may trade him in for the lovely and vivacious Renee Harper.
Yay!
Renee, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we were talking to Jim and Amanda Gibson before the break about the Beast Brewing Company. And I should remind folks that we are sitting here in Bisbee celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. But we have now with us the oldest brewmaster in the West, self-declared, but I'll believe him. Vic, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Yes, yesterday I celebrated my 68th birthday.
Woo-hoo!
And so I'm trying to keep up with all these young brewers around because I learned to make beer in Europe some years ago and built the brewery on Brewery Gulch, here, historic Brewery Gulch in Bisbee. We're in our 5th year. And it's a lot of fun. We've gotten a lot of recognition. And right now, of course, the brewery's packed in the patio because of this wonderful event.
Now, you are the proprietor of the Old Bisbee Brewing Company.
Yes.
All right. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get to Bisbee?
Well, quite a few years ago, 21 years ago to be exact, two friends of mine and I came down here because we love to hike and we love to backpack and we enjoy the Chiricahuas and the Huachucas, and Bisbee's right in between them. and it was a perfect place to stay. And all three of us stayed the night before going out camping here at very nice lodging. And we had dinner at what has become our famous Roca's restaurant. And each of us said, you know, this would be a great place to have a little getaway place. And sure enough, two of the three of us ended buying places here. And it's a great place for a getaway place, but now obviously with the brewery.
Now you got to work.
Now I went into retirement, and this is my retirement project.
So what made you want to open a brewery? I mean, you're on track for a nice retirement.
Yes,
Some R&R, you can go visit anywhere you want it.
That's right.
I mean, this is sort of like, you know, the hub of entertainment, you know, all in Arizona and Mexico.
Yes.
And, but you're stuck at drinking beer now. What's up
you
with
know,
that?
And that's not a bad thing, of course. I was at Roca's restaurant one night, and there were some tourists in there, and they wanted to know where the brewery is on Brewery Gulch. It seems pretty logical. There should be one there.
There should be.
And this was 7 years ago, and I was sipping a glass of wine, not beer, but the bartender, who I know quite well, I made the comment. He told them, well, there isn't one. There hasn't been a brewery here since 1891. And, of course, I had to say, well, Fred, somebody should put one in. And he said, I'm looking at the guy who should do it. And so that was the catalyst for thinking about it. And we acquired property on Brewery Gulch, overlooking the gulch, and started planning for it the next year. And then I came out of the wine industry, did a lot of fermentation science in the wine industry and retired from that. So I had to go back to school to learn how to make beer. And my daughter grew up in the wine industry, and I called her up and said, you know, I'm thinking about putting in this brewery, as you know. How would you like to go to Europe with me and go to the university over there and learn the science of it and then work in various breweries for some months?
And gee, Dad.
I know. Yeah. Let me think about that. Let me sleep on it.
Yes. No. And she'd recently spent a couple years at the University of London, so she was comfortable over there. And we got into one of the best programs. It's at Sunderland University. They actually have their own brewery as a lab, and you create all kinds of things. And so here we were, these two Americans. We went over there, we got accepted, and here's this old guy and his young daughter. She was at the time 24, and the rest of the 16 in there were all young fellows in their early 20s, and they'd done apprenticeship programs in big breweries. So they thought they already knew everything before they started taking these classes. And when they went around the room asking everybody to stand up and do their biographies, being my last name is Winquist, we were the last ones to get up. And I heard about all their training and whatnot. And I thought, well, this is going to shock everybody. But my daughter beat me to it. She stood up and she looked at all these young guys and said, well, you guys be prepared, because my father and I have never made a beer in our lives. And what they didn't know is that we both had extensive training in fermentation science and biology, so we could pick out various flaws in any types of alcohol. And the poor young guys, after 2 days of sitting there in the lab trying to start analyzing flaws in beers, and my daughter picking out the flaws right away, they decided that we weren't so stupid after all.
And were you the only Americans?
We were the only Americans. The rest were all from Europe.
Wow.
And yeah, that created some...
That was a mark against you. That was like...
Yeah.
Oh.
But they were all quite nice. And then at night we'd go to the pubs and have a picked one or two, and these poor young guys didn't realize that in my family, the women have a trait, they have an enzyme that metabolizes alcohol very quickly. So she didn't realize that she was drinking them under the table every night, and they didn't know what happened. So that was the 1-2 punch. And then we came back here, and I had the brewery designed, and it was all custom manufactured in California for us and brought out here. And it's unique. It's unique in the whole world. It's very advanced in the processing, and it's all controlled by one big panel because I'm getting older, and I don't like to be running around turning on and off valves and whatnot. So we have every day you can, I should add, the brew house is in a separate building from the tap room and patio, and the beer goes under the street from the brew house to the tap room and is held in big tanks in the tap room.
Wow.
So it's quite unique.
So does that add to the flavor of the beer being transported under asphalt?
Well, fortunately, we dug up the whole thing and put in and new pipes and everything, so it's all stainless steel. Otherwise, you're right, it would be. Yeah. But I'll tell you, when we were digging up the street, we found relics of past Bisbee that were so fascinating because there were various fires here around the turn of the century and floods, and we had to dig all this up by hand, and I felt like it was an archaeological dig after a while.
Now, your building, wasn't it the Orb newspaper originally that sat in that
yes,
location?
Yes, that's correct.
And there was a murder there.
You know all about it. See, you can put us on the tour now.
Do my other ghost hosts go to the brewery for the pub crawl?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, there was a murder there. An editor got mad.
That's right. Well,
Do you know the full story?
Well, somebody...
Yeah. The editor got murdered because he wrote... an article about a business person in Bisbee that was not very flattering. And that person came over and killed him. And also in the building we're at, that was where the original brewery was on Brewery Gulch. They had a tunnel under the street, and a fellow named Siebert from, he was German-Swiss, and he came there and 1881 and established the brewery. As a matter of fact, one of the beers we make, the Copper City Ale, is his recipe that we recreated.
Well, give us a rundown then of what you're serving, what you're making.
Well, we make currently we're making 6 different beers, and we go from a lighter beer like the wheat beer, the summer wheat beer we make. Through a classic European-style Pilsner, and then our Copper City Ale, our historic beer of Brewery Gulch, and we make an English-style Imperial Pale Ale, a replica of the beer that was shipped from England to Bombay.
The British soldiers could get drunk.
That's right. Before that, when they just tried to ship their Pilsner, it didn't have enough preservative powers and it was horrible by the time it got there.
Yeah, I have a friend who loves IPAs, and I despise them because they're way, way too hoppy. But that's what people look for in the IPA, and that's the thing that preserved it on the way to India.
Well, that's right. That's exactly it. But I'd venture to say if you tasted our IPA, it's a totally different one. It's the real old-style IPA, and the malts balance off the hops, so it doesn't have that highly acidic taste. And then we have a what we call a royal stout.
We'll try that.
Okay.
I'm a stout guy.
Well, my daughter, she's a big fan of stouts, and when we were in Europe, her mission was to create the best stout possible, and fortunately, the people at the University of Sunderland were very generous, let us use their lab, and we recreated stouts from the turn of the century. And the noble houses of Europe each had their own stout, and we recreated each one of those. The Russian one was too strong for us, but we tried the Prussian one and the German, other German states, and then the Danish and Swedish one. And the Danish one had a nice finish to it, a very rich stout. And that's what we have recreated. And that's why it's called the Royal Stout, because it was for the Royal House of Denmark.
Excellent. Now, we need to take a quick break. Tell us where people can check you out on the web, or
sure,
your phone number, or anything you want to give out.
Sure. We have a website, oldbisbeebrewingcompany.com. We are on Facebook, and we're distributed widely in Tucson and Tombstone and Sierra Vista. And of course, we encourage people to come to Bisbee, come to the brewery on Brewery Gulch, which is in the heart of Old Bisbee. And we have a big patio overlooking Old Bisbee and the mountains. And then we have a tap room that everyone enjoys, and we're open every day of the year.
Excellent.
And I just liked you on Facebook. So
thank you.
I live on Facebook, so I liked you on Facebook.
This is like, you know, modern technology. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vic, and we'll be right back on the Fred Jeff Show. This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I am not here with my little brother Jeffrey, but with the lovely Renee Harper, who is the ghost host, the creative executive officer, and the
curator of the macabre.
Curator of the macabre.
I need business cards that are going to say that.
Here down in Bisbee, a little town in a state known as Arizona. And we're having a lot of fun talking to people about all the great things to do when you come out and visit the Bisbee. Now, no visit to Bisbee is complete without a stop, at least for a quick drink, at the Copper Queen. And with us right now is the proprietor, or the faux proprietor, because his wife apparently is the real one, Don Fink, over at the Copper Queen. How are you doing, Don?
I'm doing good. It's Dan.
Yeah, it is. It's an A. God, see, it's okay.
You can call me anything you want, but late for dinner, okay?
Well, you know, if my brother was here, he would tell you that I never get anybody's name right, even if it's written right in front of me, so I apologize.
Not a problem.
So, we've been talking to Renee, and she has these alleged ghost sighting tour things. And the Copper Queen plays a big role in that stuff.
Right, with a lot of the town's residents' ghosts reside here in the Copper Queen. We've been featured on several TV programs, found some interesting things, but we keep a log at the front desk. People have a sighting or something happened, they write in it.
So do you think the ghosts stay here primarily for the drink specials?
Well, you know, things like Billy. We figured that he's our most probably prominent ghost. He's the one that causes the most mischief. He's friendly, but, he likes, like any little kid, if he sees some bling or a toy or something, he may pick it up, look at it, and put it down a foot or so away from where it used to be. And I know one night somebody brought a little flashing LED. They woke up in the middle of the night and it was going across the room. So, you know, this some strange things happened with Billy. But we figured his mom must have been like a housekeeper or worked here, because as far as we can figure out, he drowned in the San Pedro, and this is where he resides. So his mom must have been here, or his parents worked in the hotel or something. But this is where he likes to stay. And he's one of the frequent ghosts. But then we always had, like, Julia Lowe. She was a lady of the evening that worked out of the hotel, the back end where they had a ramp for the gentlemen to come in and nobody would know. And she fell in love with this young man and he wouldn't leave his wife, so she hung herself in that room. So we figured that's why she stays here.
Just hanging around.
Yeah, just hanging around.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one. Oh, I need to use that joke. I'm totally stealing that.
Okay, I want residuals for that.
Okay.
And the one that I've had the most dealings with is the top hat man. And my office is up on the fourth floor. And I often tell people, I said, if you want to get a picture of something, is you ride the elevator up to the top floor, jump out as soon as those doors do, and take a picture to the right. Just flash picture down the hall. And some really unusual things, orbs and all sorts of stuff. But I've seen just the cape kind of whisk around the corner. You know, yes. I never got, you know, I run down there, but... the thing I always do, the fourth floor a lot of times is empty, and I'll get people saying, there's somebody up there smoking, and I don't worry about it anymore, because it's not. It's the top hat man up there smoking a cigar. So when there's not a single room and nobody's up there, I've smelled cigars hundreds of times.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Copper Queen. I mean, this is a really nice hotel.
Well, give you a little history. Back in 2005... I'd had several restaurants in the Northern Virginia area, and I'd sold my last one, and I wanted to kind of move back out west. I grew up in Utah, but I kind of wanted back out and kind of be in the center where all my kids had moved. And so I was looking in the Mesa area and stuff. I had a hotel broker that was looking for something, and one day he called me and says, Dan, you need to go come and look at Bisbee. And I said, Bisbee? And I looked on the map, so that's Mexico. But he says, you got to come in. So I hopped on a plane and flew out, rented a car, and came to Bisbee. And I fell in love with the old gal. I'm really, always been into history. Back east, I rode my horses through Bull Run, and we went, drug my kids through all the Civil War sites and Revolution sites. And my second oldest son got his doctorate in history. And now as a professor in Oklahoma, but I guess he kind of got the bug. But the history here, but this old gal, I kind of fell in love with it the first second I saw her. And, you know, it took me a year to be able to get it, but we've enjoyed it ever since. And it's a unique piece of history. It's the oldest continually running hotel in the state of Arizona. If you notice, the front doors have no locks. It's never shut its front doors. It's always been open.
Wow.
There's a few older hotels, but, you know, they've had a fire or shut down for a while, whatever. In 1902, February, on President's Day, it opened up its doors, and they've never been closed.
That's great. Now, I heard, this may be an apocryphal story, but there was a recent big renovation recently?
Well, when you got a building that's 112 years old, you're always renovating. You're always doing stuff. You know, the old girl's in pretty good shape, but, you know, right now I just put in an order buying some new carpets for the hallways. You know, they're pretty worn out. You know, things get tired. You're always flipping mattresses, buying new ones. You know, a hotel has maintenance.
This is a major, busy working hotel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have people here every night of the week, you know. And it's not only just a hotel, but it's a full-service hotel. We've got the restaurant. We've got the saloon.
And the saloon is my favorite place on Friday nights when the Frytown Toughs are here. And they play, like, old ragtime type style.
Oh, that's not a gang. It's a musical.
No, it's a set of brothers, and they play the piano. And it just brings, I don't know.
And they're nuts.
They are crazy, yeah. But in a good way. Like we all are. So
we've got several house musicians that have been with me for a long time. A lot of people would like to come in and play, but I stick with some of the old favorites, and you know, and I still do that. We have Sugar, and we've got Back Porch Swing, and you know, we've got a lot of these groups that have been with me 8-9 years. So
that's excellent. So we got a couple minutes left before the end of the show. Tell us like one of your favorite stories, with Copper Queen.
Well, I told my wife, I said, don't send me on any more phone calls. We got a phone call one New Year's that the people were making a big noise out by the pool, and I go out there, and there's these two gals out there swimming with nothing on out the pool. And the one had paid a lot of money to get those puppies. And hat on. I just told my wife, I said, you know, then I had to chase her up and down the hallway. She was completely naked. Never did find out what room she was in. I just told the wife, don't do that anymore. You know, I'm getting too old for that kind of stuff. And I know that Hotel Recon kind of did, that'll be airing pretty quick. And they did a reenactment of that particular thing. But there's always something interesting going on. I mean, you know, and I'm the one that, you know, hey, there's a toilet plugged up in 302, and I'm the only one that'll go up there and do it, you know, so I've seen a lot of strange things, you know.
My favorite story about the Queen, which I think is more of an urban legend, is when John Wayne threw Lee Marvin through the bar window.
But John Wayne was a frequent guest here. People said he slept here one night. No, he owned buildings here in town. He loved coming here. Even before the elevator was put in, he was a frequent guest at the Copper Queen Hotel. And he always wanted the same room. So even before the elevator, he would, you know, if you knew anything about John, he liked to drink a bit. But he would stagger up those stairs, the second floor, turn right, and hit that corner bedroom. That's the one that he always wanted. So, but there's still a table up there and three leather chairs that I keep because he'd bring his friends like Lee Marvin and stuff, and they'd sit up on the second floor when it used to be open air before the elevator was put in, and they would smoke cigars and drink whiskey and play cards up there.
Excellent.
And if there was any damage, he was a perfect gentleman the next day, had a big checkbook, and always took care of the place. So
that's sweet. So tell us, if people want to make reservations or see any more information on the Copper Queen, how do they do that?
And copperqueen.com.
Perfect.
And get on. It's very simple. You make reservations. I always suggest you call and make your reservation, because sometimes if it's a slow week or something like that, or you've got a group or something, a lot of times we'll cut you a deal where the computer doesn't know that kind of stuff. So, you know, give us a call, and one of our, it might even be me. There's several nights that I'm on that phone.
All right, well, don't ask for Don. Ask for Dan Fink. thanks for hosting us here.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Take care. And that's it for us. We'll talk to you guys next week on the Fred and Jeff Show. Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you. What this old world needs now, old-fashioned love, ain't it, guitar? Yeah. Preach it, son.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.